I've selected hymns having to do with the tongue, words, and so forth. And we've sung these hymns before, but they're not real familiar, but we have sung them even as our brother played that prelude. 410, take me, oh my Father, take me. 410. Soldiers of Christ, arise. 482. 482. Well, the next one will be easier, for we have sung it many times, 492. This business of taking these social sins or sins of speech. I may not have a sing all these. I primarily zeroed in on the third stanza. is where I zeroed in for this end, but let's sing the first three of 492. I changed in having to sing the whole thing because I see on the clock we're doing real well. So let's turn to number 47. It is, O Jehovah, Hear My Words, number 47. We've sung this in the past. So I was particularly looking at verses, stanzas 2 and 3 of 47, but let's see how we do with O Jehovah, Hear My Words. Before we pray, let's hear these two verses. But now, ye also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Our Father, tonight we're grateful for bringing us here to worship and not only to praise you and to encourage one another and exhorting one another. Now we come to the matter tonight of these list of speech sins or social sins that we personally have problems with. And so we're asking for your help. We're asking for your direction. May our time be profitable, and not only to know these things, but to practice them. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I need to make a note of a matter here first, and so I don't forget it. Well, we're in these last two chapters of Colossians, and so we know that there are two chapters of practical living. We've had the technical, and now we need the practical. You know, that's strange. Some people don't believe in using the book. They just know how to do things, and then they screw up. Some people read the book and still don't know how to do it. And the book is technical, the first two chapters, gracious about our Lord Jesus and all that he means. And then after knowing all these things, verse 9 says to us, well, or verse 8, it says, but now ye, there's been a change. And isn't that wonderful, a change, where once we were children of rebellion or disobedience, but now we have been changed, and if any man be in Christ, if any man be Christ, he's a new creature. But now ye also put off these things. So, looking at this second list, we look at the first list, having to do with essential fleshly sins and how to kill them. And then he goes on, and in the Word of God, God says, I want to talk with you about some speech sins, or social sins. These two chapters, chapters 3 and 4, have to do with moral duties. And he's saying, you know, we got to do something about these moral sins. You know, it's when it comes to this passage, well, and this is no big deal, I'll just shut my mouth. I just won't say anything. That's not the answer here, just shutting your mouth. It goes deeper than that. He said, these things had to be put off. They had to be killed, not just shut your mouth through them. And so, you know, in verse 5, we did take a look at the mean to mortify, and that we must put to death the sensuous sins, we're to kill them from our souls. It's like telling us that we're to take off our dirty clothes and put on the new. You know, I was just thinking about that. The picture is keep saying, put off, then put on, but the verbs are here, put off. You know, it said put off these dirty things. I remember one time I picked up a black boy up in Potter County when I was delivering goods on my day off back in Benton, and boy, it was cold, and he was hitchhiking, just a little fella. I thought, well, I'll just pick him up with a panel truck and got him in the truck. And he said, man, it's cold. And I said, where are you going? He says, I'm going south. I'm going home. I said, well, where you been? Picking potatoes. Potter County, I'm cold. He said, where are you going? How far do you want to go tonight? I don't know. I'm trying to get home. He said, I slept under the whole mattress last night. I can't imagine somebody sleeping under the whole mattress. He said, it was so cold. So I said, well, you might as well come on home with us and get something to eat and see if we can find something for you to wear, a little warmer than what you have on. And we still laugh about it. My wife got a whole pile of clothes that would fit him. And he starts putting them on over his old clothes. Just kept putting them on top of his old clothes. Well, you say, if you're cold enough, what's the difference? But the Bible is saying, listen, now you have been changed. Put off. Don't be putting new clothes on top of your old, dirty, rotten, filthy clothes. You're to be a new creature in Christ. Well, Lord, that's terrific. Strip it off. Get rid of them. Your old sinful habits, the sensuous and those old dirty habits that we talked about, and you say, well, they weren't very comfortable, but he's saying there's, it's just so easy to be hypocritical. Well, this is a convicting passage. It's to be hypocritical. People can see right through it. Your neighbors can see through it. Your kids can see through it. It's a terrible thing. It's the old idea, you know, he talks the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. He also says, do as I say, but don't do as I do. What a hypocrite. And this is talking to Christians. He said, now listen, you got to listen to God. This is God's word. He said, you got to put away all these. Get rid of them. Once and for all, get rid of those old dirty things. And say, well, Lord, I need some help here. I read about the Welsh revival. You've heard this before. I know some of you. I used the illustration before. I know I did. And during the Welsh revival, God worked so amazingly in those miners. And when God changed them such that when they went back to work, they had time off to have this the revival times. When God calmed down things a little bit, they went back to work. And they went to their mules and the horses, and they just wouldn't work. Just couldn't get them to do anything. You know what the problem was? Those fellows who didn't know Christ and the Lord saved them, they were cussers. They kicked the horses. They beat the horses. And then the horses would work on the mules. But now they've been changed. God put a new life in them. And they had no disposition to cuss at them and kick them and all that. And they couldn't get those mules and the horses to work. Talk about a change. There is a real change. And this passage is saying, listen, but now you were something else, but now you Colossians, you got to do this, put away. And I like this passage because, you know, I can stand up here and say, God is, but God is saying that I give you a power to do some things. I'll cooperate with you. You have responsibility, David. Go out there and fight Goliath. You must cooperate. You must do something, not sit back and just say, well, God is God's sovereign. No, that is not. Human responsibility is taught in the Word of God. He said, but now you got to do this. Put off these old dirty things, those habits. Phew. Are you going to help me, Lord? He said, I'll give you the power to do it. You're not alone. There's little sparrow on the roof there. I'll help you. But you got to be willing to do something about these matters. You know, but now is just such a beautiful start of what the second list. But now. Put off. And he's talking about the mouth now. Out of your mouth. How many times when your children was doing something, what do you have in your mouth? What is it? What is in your mouth? Open your mouth. I want to see what's in your mouth. Give me that. Get it out of here. God is saying to us as children of God through faith in Christ, what's in your mouth? These speech sins, these social, personal sins. Don't be thinking about mine. Think about yours. What I want out of your mouth. Take them out. Get it out of your mouth. What? Like, well, this first one is the anger. And here's the list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And verse 9, lie not one to another. Well, there's the list. And say, are we going to go through this list? We better. This is the Word of God talking to Christians. What about this verse 8? Now you have been changed. No longer children of rebellion, but now you're obedient. And this matter of anger. Christians don't have any problems with anger. Yes, they do. They do. This first anger word is different from wrath. This word means that which is of a smothering resentment. What is? That word anger means slowly resentment. It means smothering. It has the idea of brooding. I brood over this. I just keep brooding about it. I'll have a bitterness in my life, and I may keep my mouth shut, but I'm just brooding down in. I'm looking for an opportunity to get even with that person. And one of these days that's going to happen, and I'll get even with him or her. So don't you do that. That's deep down anger. You've heard of somebody saying, you know, he's an angry person. She's an angry person. Here it is, verse 8. And that is, it's something it's building up. It's smothering. My wife has a pressure cooker. I'm afraid of it. You know why? My dad was using it years ago, and he didn't have it tight. And he was doing some beans. You know about the story. Yeah, it did. It blew. And beans all over the kitchen. Up on the top, up in here, all around. It's like a bomb. So I'm intimidated. I said, you do it. And I don't want to mess with it. It's a bomb. But there is a little bobber on there, and it gets too pressure. It's supposed to relieve it. I understand that. Boy, he can build up and blow. And this next word, he shows you, it really is blow. You know, that word wrath, that's the word of an outburst. What's anger? That's a smothering resentment. And just it's just down deep in my life, and I'm looking for an opportunity one of these days to deal with it. But wrath is, well, the time has come, an outburst. That's what the word wrath means. A blazing thing. Oh, like the Chinese put it, it's like setting a fire to straw. Ah, it blows right up. Fires right up. That's what the word wrath means. And it has the idea of people, they get so far and they just blow up. I mean, they scream and yell at you and just, man, wow, it just all blows up and then it's all over. Yep. I've experienced that in my own family. That's the way my dad was. Boy, he'd blow up. And it was all over. Like 5 minutes later, it was all over. How you doing today? Yeah, let's get to work. God said, you're not as a Christian to have that blow up. And I can't help it. It's my old Irish. It's my German in me. I have German in me. I have my Irish. I can't help it. Well, you better look at this passage. This is from God. He said, you can take it out of your mouth, that speech sin, that social sin. There's help for that. You want to get rid of it. That is not good. That's not a testimony for Jesus Christ. We're not looking like the Lord with that kind of attitude in the family, are we? In the community, that business of wrath, to have temper fits. Just let it out. Boy, just let it out. Say, well, where do you do that? Well, you know, it's the way I am. I got it from my dad. That's the way I am. No, don't blame it on your dad. You say you know Christ and you have his spirit. And he says, I want you to know this. You can get rid of it as you would take off dirty, rotten clothes, smelly clothes. You can get rid of this from your mouth. It's a mouth social sin. And he says, I want you to get rid of it. It's not becoming for a Christian to act that way. Well, Lord, I guess I don't need to hear any more about that, do I? He said, no, but listen, malice. Put off malice. Now, what's a malice Christian, a malicious Christian? That's a contradiction. But there apparently are some. We dealt with the sensualities of the flesh. This had to do with evil speaking. Evil speaking. And intent, the word malice, has the idea, intent to do harm. premeditated. I'll give my chance. And when I do, I'm going to handle that. God says, no, no. Don't you do it. Don't you be having a fit of angers, smashing the windows, throwing the hammer around, yelling and screaming like an idiot. Don't do that. He said, they're personal sins that God does not want us to do. Well, that's the first three. And I told you that there was a list here, and I'm going on to the ninth verse, and so it makes the list a little longer. The next one is to do with blasphemy. Well, I know what that is, taking the Lord's name in vain. That's blasphemy. And, you know, it's so easy to follow the way of the world. When something happens in their lives, there are three words that are very common. Oh, my God. Oh, my. Something wonderful. Oh, my God. Hey, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's blasphemy. And it has somewhat the same idea, but here it's not so much about cussing. It has to do about defaming another human, his character, her character. It has the idea of slander or to make fun of them. You know, sometimes we think we're comedians. Comedians make fun of people all the time. And we laugh at it. The Bible is saying here, listen, blasphemy among Christians has to do of slandering and making fun of somebody. We say, we gossip about him. Gossip about him. You know something about him? He's so dumb. He's a doomcough. He can't even do that. I don't know what's the matter with him. What's wrong with him? There is not such a dumb guy. He thinks he knows so much. She thinks she knows so much, and look how she acts. He said, don't be doing that. God says, I don't want you to do that. Cut it out. That's that person is made in the image of God too. You know, when you do that and say, you know, he's a dummy. Anybody with any brains could do that. That puts you up here. That's putting you, I am such a wonderful person. I'm so smart. I do everything right. That puts me up here. But he's a dummy. He can't do anything without screwing it up. But I'm so wonderful. I'm a perfectionist. God says, no, sir. That's not right. For that's what that word means. Blasphemy is slanderous. And where he's made an image of God, she's made an image of God. Now, let's just be careful here. This is God speaking. This isn't just some interpretation. This is what these words mean. I've taken the time to study them in the original so that we get the right meaning of these words instead of just reading the list and say, yeah, yeah, I heard that. Do you know what it means? We have to identify sins. Doctor has to identify the problem. And as Christians, we have to identify what is it that God doesn't want amongst us. And then the word filthy communications, I don't need to talk about that, do I? Yeah, you do. You know, it's has the idea of obscenity, obscene. It has the idea maybe of, I remember an acquaintance of ours, now dead, used to come here in a wheelchair. He'd have his hair combed and look nice. And he'd tell you about hygiene, that he said, every morning I brush my teeth and I brush my tongue. You brush your tongue? He said, I've been taught to brush my tongue. He would kind of preach that. But you know what? He might have literally brushed his tongue, but he had problems. He had a lot of problems. You know, you can brush your tongue and at the hygiene, at the sink, brush the tongue. But this is what it's really saying here. You filthy communications. Get that out of your mouth. I don't want to hear that. Now, I appreciate what my wife does. Occasionally, we'll look for a P-13 movie, PG-13. I don't like anything else but something PG, but it's getting bad even as person told me Sunday, said, you know, it's that's getting bad too. But my wife, when it gets into that realm, parent guidance for 13-year-olds and up, they'll do something, they'll say something. She said, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. Bam, shut it off. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm not bragging on her, but that's right. I don't want to hear that filthy stuff. Taking the Lord's name in vain, PG-13, talking, using the F word, I don't want to hear it. That's why we have remotes. You see that something's going to say, just shut it off. Well, you say, well, be more selective. We try. But it's getting so that filthy communications is an acceptable thing. And the idea of look at chapter 4 and verse 6 if you need a little more emphasis of this. Colossians 4 and verse 6, if you need a little more strengthening of that. What does it say? It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. 4 and verse 6, look at it. It said, let your speech, that is, that it has some saving grace in it, salt, be gracious, and that so you know how to be prepared to talk with each person. Study how you can talk with each person. Speech is important. And filthy communications, listening to some coarse humor. You know, you heard the old illustration, didn't you? Men get together and say, hey, there's no women around here, I'm going to tell you a joke. One guy said, hey, there may not be women around here, but the Holy Spirit is. You think he wants to hear it? Where are some bold guys like that today? Well, I mean, listen. It's saying here, listen, there's personal speech sins. There's a list here. He said, I want them off. I want them out of your mouth. And you're supposed to do something about it, not just depend upon God to do it. You have to realize you want to be an obedient child of God. He said, this is what you need. And in verse 9, lie not one to another. Stop lying. Oh, Christians don't have to lie. You know, if you start back in Genesis, after the fall, it's just full of lying. Soon after the fall, they lied. Lying is a real problem. In the Garden of Eden, there was lying. The devil lied. Well, you say he's the father of the lies. Says that in John's gospel, I know he is, but the father of truth is God. And you know, Adam and Eve, they both lied. Cain lied about his brother. Abraham lied about his wife Sarah a couple times. And Sarah, she lied to the angels. She said, I didn't lie. Tell me I'm going to have a baby when I'm not. You lied, Sarah. They told her you lied. And so Christians can lie. He said, listen, stop lying. Don't tell lies to one another. You say, well, that's easier said than done. Didn't you ever hear righteous indignation, preacher? This is passage about words. Yeah, I heard about righteous indignation. Fact of the matter is, there's a reference to that in Ephesians chapter 4. That's just back a couple books, not far back. Chapter 4 of Ephesians. And what am I going to find there? I'm going to find there that we have to be very careful about this. There are sometimes you stand up and say, hey, this is the way it is. Look at verse 26. 26 and 27. What does it say? It says you can be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. What in the world does that mean? You know, it says there is a. It says if you're angry, don't sin by nursing it with a grudge. It says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Boy, that's good. Let's settle before we go to bed, shall we? Yes. Don't go to bed angry. Well, that's a good word for married people. I don't care how long they've been married. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let the sunset find you until that you're still nursing that anger. Well, it says, be brief in it. Don't be brooding over it. Look for some reconciliation. Try to get some reconciliation. Don't be brooding it. I tell you, I come to a place and we had a lot of poultry. And our broody hen is something to deal with. She's somebody to deal with it. And she has eggs under her and she's hatching those eggs. And you walk in, the first thing she goes, she'll scare you. And you touch, put in there, she'll nail you. And if you pick her up, she carries on like everything. And there are some people who are that way, they're broody. Just smothering in it. God says, don't be that way. Don't be that way. Don't lie. This idea of premeditated deception. It's the one another. Notice that. Lie, verse 9, look at it. Lie not one to another. Don't to one another. It's talking about believers in the church. Believers in the church lie to one another? Yeah. By the way, I should have stayed back in Ephesians chapter 5 just a little more. Chapter 5. If you want a cross-reference. And that is, look at verse 25, chapter 5, Ephesians. See it? Fifth chapter. No. That's not it. It's the fourth chapter. Yes, it is. Verse 25. And, it's verse 25. Wherefore, putting away, that's the verse. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. Away with it. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. One another, it says in Colossians 3:9. Don't be lying to one another. Ooh, wow. That's the folk in the church. Wonder why people lie. Well, we put up a pretense. Say, well, I don't know if I really trust the word when it says I'm supposed to do this. I get in trouble if I tell the truth. You'll get in more trouble if you don't tell the truth, because God knows all these things. Some people, it's going to cost me something if I tell the truth. May lose my job. So, to avoid losing my job or cost me some of my business, I'll lie. Everybody else is lying. Make a white lie. That's not as bad as a black lie. They're lies. It says quit lying to one another. I think most of it has to do with being greedy. Yeah, being greedy. Or desiring to be powerful. Resumes. Boy, you know what a resume is? You write up who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how wonderful you are. Hey, all this. People lie. Big shots. Executives. They got caught putting on a resume. They'd had this, they've done all this, and they didn't do it. That's why they lie. So that they may be powerful. Hey, I am somebody. I've done that. And it's, you lie because we lie because we're proud. If I tell the truth, I'm going to be embarrassed. And I don't want to be embarrassed. So I'll just lie about it. I'm ashamed to confess it. It would show that I don't have spirituality. I just shame. So I'll cover my sins. And by the way, I want you to pray for Ken Knighton's brother David. Why? He's very bad. Ill. You know, the Bible says that no drunkard will enter heaven. And David is a drunkard. And liars. Liars are not going to make it either. Oh, you have to have some proof of that. You just can't stand there and say liars are not going to go to heaven or drunkards are not going to go to heaven. Yeah, the Bible teaches that. Let's go to Revelation just in case you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, if the Word of God says it, you better believe it. Let's go to the 21st chapter. And let's look at that verse 8, 21st chapter, and verse 8. I marked it down 21:8. No, that's not it. They should, huh? Is it right? I'm in chapter 20. All right, I'm right after all. There you are. But the fearful, that's the people real timid, and the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and what? And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Is it serious? Hey, we all do it. Hey, wait a minute. We can confess when we lie. That's true. But if our state of our social sins is that I'm a liar, you're not going to make it happen. I am too. I know the Lord. Well, something's wrong. You might have a profession of the Lord, but do you really possess the Lord? Because he says, I don't want anybody to lie. And if you're a proverbial liar, he said, you're not going to make it. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And while we're in the last book, let's go to chapter 22, and let's look at that verse 15. What's it say? For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. Where are they? They won't enter into heaven. He said they're... They're outside of the city, and they love to lie, and they do it, and love to tell lies, and they're not going to make it. Now, I got to go back to 1 Corinthians and find it. You say, well, you were there Sunday. Yes, I was. And I didn't mark this down, but it's a passage that I feel all of us need to get a grasp on. You just made a statement that no drunkard's going to heaven. Are you going to be able to prove it? And so you say, well, I know back in that sixth chapter of Corinthians, it talks pretty desperately about the matter here. You want to start with me at verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know that, don't you? They have no share in God's kingdom. So be not deceived. Stop being misled about it. Those who are sexually immoral, that is, neither fornicators nor idolaters, and nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor what? Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's no small thing. If that doesn't break your heart, you think that we ought to pray? Sure. God speak to his heart, drunkards. Don't be misled. If you live in sexual sins, and if you're an idolater, you're worshiping something other than God. It's your great interest in you. What is your great interest? Oh, I'm a great man for this. I'm a great person for this. What is your big interest? You say, well, mine's different than yours. Yeah, but if you're really spending all your time, that's your God. You're an idolater. You're not going to make it either. You can talk all you want to. Parrots talk. Are they humans? No. You can talk. You still be lost. And it says about, I think this is a tremendous passage. It says,
those who are adulterers and those who are effeminate, man, abusers of themselves, of mankind, homosexuality, those who steal, those who are greedy, those who are drunkards, those who are revilers, that means a slander people, and extortioners, swindlers, none of them shall possess the kingdom of God. Wow. That's really a trembling area. Well, how am I going to do it, Lord? Well, you can starve it. Starve it? And you don't feed your mind on it. Boy, isn't it easy to read some things. The newspaper. Oh, I've got to read that. What are you reading that for? You know what that's going to say. Well, I've got to be in the know. Yeah. That's feeding on it. And the Bible says, don't be feeding on these things. You'll have anger and you'll have resentment and you have, we talked about the sexual desires and covetousness. But we're to pour in the Word of God. Oh, I keep up with all the news and Channel 16 and all of them. You know, I'm up to date on all the things. How much Bible did you get? Well, I'm a busy man. Yeah, you're busy. This old world's going to burn. You're going to leave one of these days. Going to face the Lord. This is a tremendous chapter having to do with our moral sins, personal sins, these social, these speeches, speech sins. Boy, have we arrived? Unbelievers, friends, they'll never make it. They need to be born again. And but we say we have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. He lives within us. What know ye not? Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. We have power there. It's available. And we have to pray about it and ask for help. Just think, well, God's sovereign. You know, he'll do what He's dealing with us. We're co-laborers with Christ. And he said, now you're no longer under the bondage of sin. I've liberated you. No longer are we a slave to these sins, friends. It says there, you don't have to be a slave to them. You know, I was... Dan said he was talking to a person about this lady killed a snake. He said, well, I heard that on Sunday. She said, that thing just kept squirming all over the place. Next time you see her, Dan, go along with this and say, you know what? It wasn't a poisonous snake. But I said to you, I think we ought to kill poisonous snakes. And I'm an animal lover. Why? Paul, when he was shipwrecked on the island of Malta, they got out there and they're all wet and it was cold and he started building a fire. What happened to Paul? It says the poisonous snake, a viper, nailed him right there. On his arm. What did Paul do? He said, well, that cute little thing, you know, he has a right to live too, you know. He has a right to eat too. And I'll just kind of put him in my pocket and we'll keep him a while. What did Paul do? He threw it in the fire. Now, what's the point? That viper, poisonous snake, if he would have left it go and say, well, I don't believe in killing things like that. I think they're pretty... I'll just let him go. He might have gone over and bit that guy and killed him. You see, you say, I don't let this bother me. Hey, we're all sinners. And that's the way I am. You know what? It affects others. If you don't kill that rotten thing, that snake, that poisonous sin, it's going to be effective. It says the sins of the father to the third and fourth generation. We pass on. We pass on our social sins. No. Kill that viper. You don't want somebody else to have those social sins. God is saying it. It's going to hurt somebody else if I don't take it seriously. And I'm an old man. It can hurt somebody else. Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, I guess I am. You are. You're going to give an account as well as I'm going to give an account. These are not child's play. This is not some little sweet little Bible study for Sunday school. These are serious things. And I would have you to take them seriously, friends. Let's pray. And our Father, here we are. Your precious word. We believe it. Help us to be obedient. Help us to put away obstinacy, lethargy, and carelessness. Deal with us, Lord, but we ask for help. We know in ourselves we can't do it, that it's because of the new birth, new creatures in Christ. But now, we're no longer children of rebellion, but we're to be children of obedience. And so, Father, by thy power, help us with these social speech sins, that we might be able to have victory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Before I list some prayer requests, I wonder if there'd be some thoughts concerning this matter tonight of killing, putting away these social sins, speech, sins of speech. Perhaps you have a thought that would strengthen what's already been said. Do you have a thought that come to you or a question?
Yeah, you mentioned the malice of the mighty and the dead. He told the guy, I don't know if he's real or not, but he said he would say, I hate you, Gieseloth, on mine might I hate you.
Oh.
Just that type of
attitude. Yep. You'll find that some people will, I don't like him. I just don't care for him. Yeah, well. Beware when all men speak well. If you go ahead, please.
Isn't that verse there, thieves or covetous or drunkards?
Yes.
That next verse there says,
amen.
11, and said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed.
Yep.
Ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. So
thank you.
But yet there is a renewing of the mind to change your you do a 180 on the on a lot of these things. You think differently of them. But yet you're gonna live with the part of the old man in you as long as you're on this earth. And were there not some famous people in the Bible that were spiritual but drunkards? I thought I heard that about, I don't know.
You're talking about
Noah
the,
or Moses or somebody.
When you talk about the slow-bellied, who were they?
Cretans
were slow-bellied. I don't know if it says that as such, brother.
Yeah, wasn't Noah drunk?
No,
yeah.
Lot.
Yeah, but Lot, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If a person gets drunk and repents of it, mm-hmm. that person is no longer a drunkard. I mean,
right? So they would.
Oh sure. Oh amen. We fall, brother. We fall, don't we? Thought and mind, indeed. I'm not bragging about it, but we do. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us
this
and to cleanse us.
Is a call to confession of sins.
Which one? 1 Corinthians 6.
The one written in Colossians.
Yeah.
Sin that grace abounds.
No.
So there's a need, there's a call to confession. I think a good trial lawyer could convict us, everyone in this room, probably, even if it may be in the thought realm, on one of these areas. And if you're down guilty on one account, you'd be guilty of them all. So that's why we're, because of our position in Christ, we're not, there's no condemnation. But we need to confess them, and but we don't go out with sin that the grace
about. That's good. We're in our position in Christ. We're safe and righteous.
And
you know,
justified. justified. Yeah. And that means
but sanctification is but sanctification is set apart.
Yeah.
And that's an area that we need to be working on. Justification is God does that for us. We didn't do anything with justification. But sanctification is something we need to be working at and cooperating with the Almighty God.
These actions are out of character for Christians.
Oh, it's, say that again. But they do happen. And I'm not making any like. You know, there are some Christians that say they're sinless. They believe in sinless perfection. I met them. I really have. They said, no, I haven't sinned in thought, word, and deed for 3 months. Or whatever.
First lie they just get what they want.
But they do. They brag about it, friends. I don't mean to be silly, but they do. But you know what they do? If you let me define sins, let me define them. I won't use Daniel Webster. I'll use my own dictionary. Let me tell you what sins are.
Doesn't the Bible say if a person says he has no sin, he's a liar, the truth is not in
him? There you go.
James
is full of this business of the tongue, the third chapter. If I had the time, we'd go to the chapter of James and you'd read about how small a little tongue, a small fire, how important a small tongue is. A little tongue is a small fire, a helm and a ship, just a small. It turns a big boat and so forth. Small things.
It's an awesome thought to know that you're guilty and you deserve to go to hell, but because of the mercy and the grace of God, we have hope.
Yeah. Yeah, we can take comfort. Take comfort. And if you get discouraged, there's people who will be honest with you and say, it's a battle. It's not peace. It's a battle. You say, well, I think Christians ought to have, there'll be a, you know, not always fighting the war, but no, it's a thing that we need to do. The victory's ours, but we haven't yet died and passed on to be with the Lord, to be glorified. Well, don't give up. Take heart in the power of God. Prayer request. Let me give the list that I have here that I believe tomorrow Adam Gamble, whom we have visited at the prison a number of times, two times for me, he's going to be going to Lebanon tomorrow. He's being released. He's going to a group that's has somewhat Mennonite background, which I got to tell you, I'm complete as compared to the social worker background. But Adam needs prayer. Adam, if you look at that picture, it's right the guy next to Rick. The other guy is Ishmael. The guy next to Rick. And I'll tell you, he's a delight. God used a prison to wake him up, and he studies, and he's excited. And so I want you to pray for Adam Gamble. Then we have some prayer requests from the website. We have that man down in Florida that I read to you, and he said that he can't find a place to worship. And he said, I concur with what you folk have on the website. And he said, would you pray that we find somebody, someplace that we could have worship the Lord? He said, we're homeschoolers. And so perhaps you'll pray for those folk there in Florida that they find some place. I think we take for granted sometimes. But there are. And the person who prayed asked us to pray because a friend of theirs, a woman, she's taken in with drinking. She has a family. Another man, I don't know if he's a suitor, another man, he calls her and they talk. And he said, let's go out and have drinks together. And when she goes out to the bar. And it sounds like it's a social thing, but yeah. I don't, but she has a real problem with drinking and asking you might pray for her. This was a friend of her that put in a request in our website to pray for Flo. And so she doesn't lose her family and destroy her marriage because of the problem with drinking. She drinks at home, too. Missionary request. Ken and Kath said the reason we went home early was because Kath fallen and broken her wrist. He said, you know the book Project Heaven and Hell? It's in the Romanian language. They have been printed. They're for use and printed for the United States, for the Romanian churches in the whole of the United States. It's 3,000 copies. Would you pray that God will bless this literature outreach as the congregation of many of the churches throughout the United States receive and read the book, that they will have a better understanding of reality of heaven and hell? That's for our own country, Romanian churches. And then Joel. Joel's asking us to pray. He specifically says there's the animosity towards the gospel in Orissa and Chattisgarh. He said our next trip in November, Saturday's the 1st of November, is to visit our believers in two churches in Chattisgarh. Please pray for us. And then he says, we continue to look to the Lord in regards for a stable mode of transportation and hoping that you would pray about this need. It's transportation. Those two requests from Joel. Now then, you know daylight saving time ends and standard times begins on Sunday, November the 2nd. So change your clocks, put them back. So get to service in the right time. We pray for the services too, will you please? Don't just take for granted that service as well. It's going to be, we always do the same thing. No, come on now. Be praying. This is the work of God. This isn't the work of man. We need prayer for our church and the services. We're in need. I'd ask you to pray especially for David. He's been here. I've talked to him. And we do love him. But I understand that he's in very bad shape. Ken Knighton is going down the weekends to spend with him. The relatives down that way are spending time during the week, but Ken, when he's off from school, he's going down to spend it with his brother. He said, pray. Pray then. That I'll be able to give the gospel. So pray for Ken as he travels. Ken is going to have his operation on eyes too. When is that? It's, you know? He has bad eyes. Pray for Ken Knighton too, would you please? All right. Now that's the request I have at the moment. Perhaps you, now, what are your requests? All right. Oh, you might want to pray for the vacationers. I think they had snow, didn't they? Hope that everything's well with him.
If they had power outages, I don't know. I know it said 80 was closed.
When was that? Do you know, Judy, when they did?